If you have your Bibles this morning, I'll ask you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and we will be reading from verse 1 through 12. And while you're there, I'll also ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40 as well. So we're going to look at two passages this morning, Matthew chapter 3 and Isaiah 40. And I'll ask God's blessing upon his word this morning. Let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you once again, Lord, that we can look into your word. Your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so this morning, Lord, we pray through the power of your spirit that you will make known your ways to us, God. That you speak to us, you'll open up our understanding so that, God, that we can draw closer to you in our walk and our relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew chapter 3, and we are, reading from verse 1 through 12, and it says here that in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a feather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were all baptizing by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.'" Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 through 5, the comfort that God gives to his people from the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 40, verse 1, it says, "Speak tenderly," comfort my people, says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." This is the word of the Lord. So this morning, I would like to say that my wife would have loved to be here, but she wanted to clear the snow so that we can get out. And I said, well, that's a beautiful thing she has done. But she would have loved to be here this morning. The reason why I'm saying that is that she's planning to be here next week. And I'm sure that next week is going to be my final week here for this year. And she and Ezra, my son, they would like to also to maybe share in a few songs next week. So hopefully next week they can lead us in a few songs along with Leo. So I wanted to say that so, you know, we can be able to celebrate what God has done for us. And so next week she's going to be here and we're going to lead you into a few songs. So this morning, most of us are quite familiar with the Advent season. I mean, the lighting of the candles. Advent starts, as we all know, on November 27th of this year, and it ends on December 24th, which means that Advent Sundays, there are four Sundays that leads up to Christmas, which is known as the Advent Sundays. And each week, some churches would light the Advent candle of hope, love, joy, and peace, and to remind us as believers of what God has done for us through Christ. Today we light the Advent candle of joy. This Sunday is also known as a joyful Sunday. I mean, it's the pink represents joy and a joyful Sunday. Why is it joyful? Because we can look back and celebrate the joy of our salvation that we have in Christ. That is our assurance that we have as believers in Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, the Old Testament saints lived their life with such joy of looking forward. They were always looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But we as believers in Christ today, we look back and we rejoice and celebrate what God has done for us through Christ in sending His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. God fulfilled His promise that He will send His Son. And 2,000 years, He did just that. He fulfilled His promise to us. So we look back and we celebrate with joy and love and hope and peace, giving God praise and thanks during this season for all that He has done for us. Christmas is a time of celebrating what God has done for us, brothers and sisters. And like I said, in sending His Son into our world to be our Savior, Christmas is not only for us to celebrate what God has done for us, but it's also a reminder of what Christ's promise to us concerning His second coming, which is the second Advent. He came once to set us free from the power of sin and death and hell, and then He's going to come once again to receive us unto Himself. And we, as believers in Christ today, look forward for that coming. The Old Testament saints were looking forward for His coming to be their Savior, the one who will redeem His people. But today, we as believers in Christ, 2,000 years after, can look forward that He will come again to receive us unto Himself. And that's what we do, brothers and sisters. We wait in anticipation. We wait rejoicing, knowing that He will fulfill His promise to us and that He will come. Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." Said to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." And He's saying that to us this morning, that we should not be troubled. There is this sense of comfort. There is this sense of hope. There is this sense of joy. There is this sense of peace that He has given to us through His Word. Let not your heart be troubled. And if you are to think up, just to ponder on those words, and these words are coming from the mouth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us. And He's saying to you this morning, let not your heart be troubled. How would you respond to that? I want you to take a few minutes this morning, or even ponder as I preach this message, to think about it. If God, if Christ, our Lord and Savior, is speaking those words to you, no matter where you are in your walk and in your relationship, no matter where you are this morning, He is saying to you, let not your heart be troubled. That means you can put everything aside and still rejoice knowing that He is able to deliver and to set free. And He said those same words to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you also believe in Me. In My Father's house there are many mansions or room. But here is this word of comfort to His disciples. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, He says, I will come again and take you to Myself, not sending anyone else, not sending the archangel, not sending Gabriel, not sending anyone. Jesus said, I will come to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And as believers in Christ, we look forward for that time. It may not be here today, but we know that we can live with such a sense of assurance in our heart. And Jesus says, you know the way. And you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas responds, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. There is no other way. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. And we each and every one of us, have that assurance in our heart and in our life. And long before Jesus came, brothers and sisters, came on the scene, the Old Testament saints, like I said, were making preparation for his coming, the coming Messiah. They were looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promise that one day he will redeem his people Israel. All the Old Testament saints and prophets were all waiting in anticipation of the coming Messiah. But before the Messiah comes, we have scriptural evidence, proof that a scene must be set. Christ would not have come until everything has to be set in place and ready for his coming. God was making preparation for sending his son. And how was God preparing the way for the coming of his son? So this morning I'm going to try to touch on three prophetic utterances, three evidences that God has given us to show how he has prepared, how he has been preparing the way by sending his son and by sending John the Baptist even before that. I'm not going to touch on the political system, the way God was preparing the world at that time so that the right time had to be fulfilled, had to be in place. Paul writing to the church at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, but when the time had fully come, when Christ were not just going to come, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full right of sonship. It was a time of preparation, and so I'm going to look at three things this morning. Three historical events that God has given to us long before sending his son into the world. 700 years before, by the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. Then 430 years by the prophet Malachi. And then 6 months by the mouth of Zechariah. So we're going to look at those three things this morning. First, let's look at the 700 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah the prophet cries, prophesy. And you heard, we read it this morning in Isaiah 40 and verse 3. 700 years before God placed the words in the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. These are the words from the prophet Isaiah. The mouth of the prophet Isaiah, prophesying God's word to God's people. And the last prophet in the Old Testament also prophesying concerning John the Baptist. This all had to happen before Jesus Christ came. And then you have not only the Isaiah, the prophets, for 700 years, but then you have the prophet Malachi, 430 years before Christ came. You see, God was silent when you read the Old Testament, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God was silent from the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, to the book of Matthew. 430 years, complete silent. When all hope was lost, and when it seems as if God was nowhere to be found during that time, God was still preparing the way for the coming of his son, demonstrating that he would demonstrate his love towards us. And that's what Paul says, that God demonstrate his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As a reminder to us that even for 430 years, when there was no prophet and no word from God and all hope was lost, God was still at work preparing the way for the coming of his Son. And this is what the prophet Malachi said in 430 years. That's the second, not only 700 years, but 430 years. Malachi says, "Behold, I send my messenger." This is God's word in Malachi chapter 3. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger, which is John the Baptist, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight." Malachi says, "Behold, he is coming." Yes, he is coming. Despite there was no word and there is no hope, there seems to be nothing. The word of the Lord says, "He is coming," says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offering of righteousness in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the day of old, as in the former years. What God was saying that he will put in the mouth of his prophet. And the hearts of the people will turn to their God. 430 years, 700 years Isaiah, 430 years Malachi, which was the last prophet. Malachi, the very last prophet. And then Malachi continued to write in chapter 4, which he talks about the day of the Lord. These were all prophetic utterances that were given to the children of Israel as an assurance. And the same way we can also rest assured, even with the promises that Jesus has given to us. "Let not your heart be troubled." Those are not just words that are just given to us, but those are words that we can live and rest assured that God will. If for 700 years God gave his word to his prophet, then 400 years, 30 years after, he confirmed it in the mouth of Malachi, in his prophet Malachi, and then sending his son. Brothers and sisters, we today as well still can rest assured on God's promises, that he is preparing a way for us. He has done that in the past, and he's also going to do that for us in the future, and which he is right now doing for us. Like he said, "I'm going to prepare that place for you." But then in the mouth of Malachi, he said, "Behold, for behold," in chapter 4, he says, "For behold, the day is coming once again, brothers and sisters, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evil doers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out and leaping like a calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be as ashes under the sole of your foot. On the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes, the rule that I command him at Horeb of all Israel." Here is God reminding Israel of his promise to them. And then he says, "Behold, I will send," after God spoke those words, reminding them, he says, "Behold, I will send Elijah," and Elijah, the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord, which was John the Baptist, that Elijah will once Elijah will come, but not as Elijah, the way he was, but in the spirit, John the Baptist, in the life of John the Baptist. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. God says, I will send my messenger ahead of you to warn you and to prepare the way so that their hearts can be turned, so that they can turn away from their wicked ways and turn to the living God. If God says, if I have not done so, I would destroy everyone. He says, I will come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is where we see how God has demonstrated his love towards us, his grace, being graceful towards us, brothers and sisters, sending and making preparation. But I love not only how the scripture has given us how God has been gracious to us, brothers and sisters, through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, through the mouth of Malachi, but even in the mouth of Zechariah, which is the third prophecy, defined when, like I said, when all hope was lost, God gave the prophet Zechariah these words. And we all know Zechariah is the father of John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and Zechariah. But hear the word of Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And this is 6 months before John the Baptist was born. So God was preparing the way through the prophet Isaiah, Malachi, and then 6 months before, hear what God says to God, hear what Zechariah had to say. He says, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. He says, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. 430 years, Malachi was the last prophet. And here God is now once again going to speak to his people. And the Holy Spirit came and filled Zechariah. And Zechariah said, blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He says, God has once again spoken that he will redeem his people. God who will fulfill his promise and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Isn't what the angel said to the virgin that the son that you shall bring forth shall be great? There are five things that the angel said to Mary on that day. That not only will he be great in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, but he shall be called the Son of the Highest. He shall be from the seed of David. And here Zechariah is also prophesying what God has placed in his heart and his spirit. Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Isn't that what a promise has God gave to his people? And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet from the old that he should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us. Verse 72. To show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Here in the mouth of Zechariah, prophesying and bringing forth the word of God once again as an assurance. This is after he came out of the temple when God promised him to give him a son. Verse 73, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in the days. But look at what Zechariah is saying now concerning his own son. This is not 700 years. This is not 430 years. This is now 6 months before. And you, child, which is John the Baptist, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. That is John the Baptist. That this child shall be called the prophet of the Most High. The prophet of the Most High. He is not the Most High, but he is the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in all and in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sun rise shall visit us from on high, and to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And then Zechariah will close with these words, and the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance in Israel. God was not only was preparing a way, but God was also fulfilling his promise. And these words are spoken, brothers and sisters, even today, that you and I can rest assured in the promises of God. Zechariah's prophecy is that John will not only prepare the way of the Lord. John would also, as the prophet of the Most High, John's role was to also give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. And that is the message that John came in Matthew's gospel that we read this morning. When John came on the scene, he says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make the path straight. And John's message was a message of repentance, for the kingdom of God is here. John's message was a message of repentance, and the people were responding to his call, exactly what Isaiah said, exactly what Malachi said, and exactly how God has ordained it. And then Jesus came on the scene. And then, but in the words of even in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 16, we also have this word confirmed that he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, and he will go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. You see, the people were waiting in an anticipation for the Messiah. Even when Jesus Christ came, even when the Messiah came, what did they do? They rejected him. John says he came to his own people, and they did not receive him. But for many who receive him, to those called the children of God, those who reject him were his own people, put him on a cross. But the Bible says that for many, as for those who receive him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Every one of us have come into that, has received that, and have come into that this morning, that promise that Christ has given to us. Each year, brothers and sisters, we as believers in Christ, we celebrate Christmas as a reminder, like I said this morning early on, not only for his coming, but how many of us are looking back? How many of us are looking back every single year when we celebrate Christmas? We're looking back. And when I say look back, we look back of what Christ has done for us. But we should also allow the Christmas story every single year to remind us not only about what he has done as we look back, but what he has also promised to do for us in the future, that he is going to prepare a place for us. He has done that in the past, and he's also doing that now for each and every one of us. And the question that I want to ask and leave you with this morning as well is, how many of us are waiting in anticipation of his coming? He also already came, but he's also coming again, and he's preparing that place for us. But how many of us are waiting in anticipation for that coming? We may not live to see him come face to face, but we do know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That is the assurance that we have as believers in Christ. And we can rest in that assurance. We can rest in that hope that we have in him. See, Jerusalem, the children of Judea and Jerusalem had the opportunity to receive him. They had the opportunity to not only to receive him and to welcome him and to follow after his command, and to, but they rejected everything about him. And we today as believers in Christ, brothers and sisters, God has given us all, God has given us his word so that we can live in not only in obedience to his word, but live with such a sense of hope and assurance, in our heart, knowing that he will fulfill his word and he will come again to receive us unto himself. And you know, some time ago I preached on the parable of the 10 virgins. It's a beautiful story of how what it would be like when we do not prepare our hearts and our lives like the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. The 5 wise, when the bridegroom came, they were ready and prepared to enter. But those who were not ready and those who were not prepared went back to go look for oil as a means of that they were not ready. They were, in their life, they were not prepared to receive their bridegroom. And the reason why I'm saying that, brothers and sisters, every time we look at, we are reminded of this Christmas story of the lighting of the candle, of what God has done, the love and the joy and the peace and the hope that we have. Those not only serve as a reminder of what he has done for us, but what Christ also has given to us, even who we are as believers in Christ, so that we can live with that sense of assurance and hope. And that we can put our trust in him. And he said to his disciple, Thomas said, Lord, how would I know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And Christmas time serves as a reminder to each and every one of us of this hope that we have in Christ. And I trust and pray as we celebrate this Christmas season again, that we're not only celebrating what he has done, but what he's also going, what he's doing for us. It's not only in the past, but it's not only in the present, but it's also in the future. Let us prepare our hearts. Amen? Let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you and we give you praise. Lord, that we can look into your word, God, that you can remind us of how faithful you have remained in keeping your word. You promised that you will not only send your son, but that you will prepare the way for his coming. And God, we have seen just that from the mouth of Isaiah, from the mouth of the prophet Malachi, and even from John the Baptist's own father, from his mouth, Lord, prophesying and conforming your word. After 700 years, those same very words were spoken from his mouth. And Lord, 2,000 years ago, as we look back, Lord, for the very words that you have given us, that you're going to prepare a place for us, that where you are, we may be also. And God, when we look, not only look back of what you have all already done for us, God, we can live and rest assured of what you are also doing for us. God, the promise that you have given to us, God, we look forward to the day when you will come. Lord, we look forward for that day when we will be with you, God, to sit and to celebrate at that wonderful, at that banquet table, to eat and to drink with you. Father, we look forward to that day, Lord, when you will come again. Lord, on each and every time, God, that we celebrate Christmas, Lord, when we light the candle of hope and joy and love and peace, serves as a reminder, God, of your faithfulness to us, your people. And Lord, yet again, these times, God, is a reminder to us again, God, of your faithfulness in keeping your word to us. And so this morning, God, we commit everyone into your hands. Lord, wherever they are, whether they're here or they're home, whether they're in the hospital or some of them may not be well, God, we bring each and every life before you this morning. And Lord, I pray that during this time of this Christmas season, God, that you will fill their heart with joy and hope and peace and love. God, as they not only look back but look forward to, Lord, what you are doing in their lives and in the lives of their family, we commit them into your hands. Commit all your people before you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to take our hands and you'll guide our feet and you'll lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And so we give thanks and praise to you this morning. And all God's people says, Amen.